Rose, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I was just going to share with everybody that this week I called Brother Mose, and as an older preacher of the gospel, I was thought it'd be a blessing to hear from him today through the phone conference line here, and he has agreed to share a message with us. And so I just want to welcome you, Brother Mose, and thank you for being willing. I trust God has laid something on your heart for the people of God this morning. I'll turn the time over to you, Brother Mose.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, greetings to everyone. In Jesus' name, I appreciate the words that have been given here this morning already. Thank you, Brother James, for that testimony and report. I had no idea that things are already in that condition in some of these cities, even though locally they are begging for more volunteers also to pass out food. And I'm sure the needs are great. Shall we pause for a word of prayer? Our loving Father, we come before you this morning's hour in this very, very different situation that it is difficult for us to comprehend and adjust to in so short a time. But we understand and know this is where we are. This is the will of God for us at this time, and we submit ourselves to it, seeking grace and understanding and wisdom to know how to navigate through these different waters. And so I pray, dear God, this morning that you would give grace that we could face reality and press on in faith, in obedience, as best as we know, according to the Word and the Holy Spirit, and that our hearts would be encouraged and be of good cheer, knowing that these things have been prophesied to us, and here we are seeing the reality of it. So I pray, if anyone under the sound of my voice, by phone or whatever, Lord, I pray that they would have a right and vibrant relationship with you, and that if there's anything between them and you, Lord, that those things could be taken away and people could prepare their hearts to live in full connection with their Lord in such an hour as this. And we thank you for your word. We pray you'd bless it this morning to our usage, our reading of it and believing it by the grace of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to say, too, for myself, that it's a bit overwhelming to present a message to you as a church there and others who may have called in such a way as this. Almost unbelievable for an adjustment of this nature. But we are thankful for the technology that has been provided us to be able to connect in such a way as this, and I'm grateful for that. I'd like to speak this morning a bit on some of the realities that I believe that we must face here. And it has encouraged my own heart to rise up in the midst of this situation and believe it, make the best of it, and adjust myself to it. Sometime here in the last week, I found out through a writing that someone had concerning the thought that this might be the judgment of God. And they were upset at those words. They're not used to hearing that. They're not used to facing the reality of that, that there's a judgment to come that will come upon this earth and will bring everyone to full judgment, accountability in the presence of God at some point here. But and so I realize that we have, like it was in the days of Noah, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That the scripture says in Hebrews, when once, how does it say there? In the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, God waited for a long time there, not willing that any would perish, but people would come to repentance, but they wouldn't do it. And the day came when judgment came, and we know the story so well and have said it over and over again through the years of our Christian experience. But here we are in a similar time like that. We have lived our lifetimes with so much patience and grace from our God, waiting on people to repent and waiting on them to change their minds and change their views, but they have not done it. Now we find ourselves, which I believe, to be in the midst of the beginning of sorrows, as is given in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And I'd like to begin with the scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 24, when Paul came before Felix. The scripture says here, we know that he had put him off a bit, but then he finally met with him, with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, so she had a lot of knowledge, I believe, of the Jewish history, the Old Testament. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent unto him the oftener and communed with him. But we know that this is a situation where somehow it seemed that Felix was under great conviction and realized that Paul spoke the truth, but he was so earthly minded that he wanted money rather than to get his heart right with God. But what he says here, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now, I would feel like each one of those would make a message by themselves. But I've chosen to speak on the subject of judgment to come, because that is a reality that I feel like, for the most part, in professed Christianity today, they don't believe that anymore. They have made to themselves a Jesus that is so loving and so kind and would never harm anybody, and they have eliminated all these scriptures that that speak of this. And so I want to go through a number of these scriptures to lay a foundation again of the reality of this thing, and then tell you why I believe that that day has come. Judgment to come. If I could read out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, there the scripture says that there's a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. the scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I had thought of reading 2, but since Brother James read that, I will let that one. But also speaks, for that day shall not come until there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. And like I said before in Matthew 24, there is a beginning of sorrows before the great tribulation comes upon the earth to try everyone that dwells upon the earth with great tribulation. But in Jude also, verse 14 and 15, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And brothers and sisters, that is where we're at. We're in the midst of a time when there has so much ungodly deeds been committed. In our just the last few years, they have escalated exponentially in this world, not only in the United States, but in Europe, Great Britain, and across the world. And so we recognize that we're living in a world and in a society today that has committed many ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and they have made so many hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against the Lord. They have pushed him aside. They have put him into history, or that some religious fanatics that still believe in him, that still believe he's the creator of the world. They have forbidden that his word be written, be read in schools and universities and graduations, in courtrooms and all the other places. It seems like it has been illegal and forbidden to open up the Word of God and to quote a scripture or make any reference to it. They become screamingly angry whenever such a thing is done and try to persecute the individual doing it. And that's where we're at. It seems to me that it's difficult for the lukewarm Christians of our day to recognize how the gradual deterioration of this has taken place over the years. And today, we want to reason with you of righteousness, temperance, and especially judgment to come. Now, let me read a number of scriptures here, a few more scriptures that I would like to quote to you concerning judgment to come. And then I would like to give you some of the reasons why I have come to the persuasion that that this is where we are in history, in our time. In Isaiah 42, we have this scripture. "Behold, my servant," in verse 1, "whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." And this is also quoted, "The breeze reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Remember that. These are words that must be yet fulfilled, even though they have been fulfilled in measure when Jesus came the first time. But now they will be in a greater way yet in the future. "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And then in verse 7, he also says that to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and his glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And so we appreciate very much that that has been a reality, that God has brought forth judgment unto truth. And we have been able, in spite of the dead religions that some of us came from, or a sinful life, that we have found the truth. And truly, that is a blessing, and how deeply we appreciate that this morning, that our blind eyes have been opened, and we have been left out of the prison house, and do not need to sit in darkness, but are children of the light and children of the day. And that day it needs not to overcome us as a thief, but rather we are children of the light, and we understand these signs, and we understand the warnings that are given by Scripture and believe them. It seems like so few people want to face that reality. I also just want to say that I believe this, I think it's evident by now to most of us that this is real. In the early days when we heard about this in China, we had hoped that it wouldn't come here and thought maybe it wouldn't, or not in a great way at least, but here it is, and it is ravaging some of the bigger cities of America. And we have no idea where the end will be, because at this point, every day, this is still mounting and increasing before us. Also, I wanted to read to you Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. Lost my face here. I had thought this scripture would be very interesting to share it with the church here on our church chat line last Sunday night. And Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Some of the things, and then let me see, Psalms chapter 2. I think that's very familiar to most of you, how that it starts in at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And that is exactly what they have done. They've tried to break the fear of God that our nation was founded under, and I don't believe it was founded fully as a Christian nation. But to believe and to know that in the last 250 more years, there has been a fear of God, we acknowledge that and believe that many men in office had the fear of God in their lives to a degree, and in general in the nation, in the educational system and so on. I remember in going to public school all of my years, and that was very prevalent in our school teacher, she had the fear of God in her life, and she feared wrongdoing and sinful ways, and warned and taught us against those things. But then he said, so they have broken those bands and they have cast them, those cords away. They did not want the restriction, the moral restrictions, the honesty and integrity restrictions. And today they lie so easy and give us untruth and in so many ways that it's unbelievable for us to sit here and to observe. But in verse 4 he says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And then down in verse 10, he says, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. And lest I be too negative in this message here this morning, I want to say that it is just a tremendous blessing to me to sit here and recognize this morning the blessing and to put our trust and our faith in God. Even though we may have to close our doors behind us and hide away a bit, like he says in chapter 26, until the indignation be overpassed and God is going to begin to deal with America and with the world for their ungodly deeds that they have committed and their hard speeches that they have made against him in trying to eliminate him. I was so blessed to hear of the openness that some of the people are having that Brother James told us about in our very cities of America to once again want a Bible, to once again hear words of reality and truth concerning these matters, because we are not in darkness. We knew these things were coming. I have to think also of the scripture yet in Luke. Let me see. I think it's in Luke 24, verse 25. This is the account of the two disciples who were on their way to Emmaus and to the gathering of where the disciples were gathered, and Jesus appeared among them and began to act like he didn't know what all had taken place, and they were troubled and were talking about these things. And so he opened unto them the scriptures and began to teach them and tell them, and he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the things that the prophets have said and have written. And that is something we must be careful of today, that we're not like them. They were disciples. That is not spoken to the scribes and Pharisees, not spoken to the atheists. It's spoken to followers of Christ and to disciples, that there's still a possibility that we are fools in that way and slow of heart to believe the record that God has given concerning these things that should come upon the earth in the latter days. And they were always out there. They were always sometime in the future. And finally, because so few of them that we were able to see, even though we saw some floods and tornadoes and earthquakes and many of those things that were very localized, but still the major wrath of God or the punishment of evildoers in a major way had not taken place. And we question whether it was a natural phenomenon or whether God had his hand in it and so on. But now we come to the point where we see something that has enveloped 190 countries, I think, is the last that I had heard yesterday. And we have something that is just went across the entire world, practically. And so it is very different, but may we not be slow of heart to believe what has been the warnings given us, that there is a judgment to come, and that we're in that day when God is going to speak to these people. How much more, how much we will ever return to a normal life like we had it before, we don't know. I personally have a hunch that the economy may be so deeply affected that things will never be like they were. And I can understand that, because we were experiencing such a powerful economy and work all we wanted, and people were begging for more workers and couldn't hardly find them, and money flowed freely, and young people, 18, 20, 22, were able to fly around the world at whim when they wanted to. And I used to look at it, and knowing, even remembering how it was after World War II in my youth in the 50s, and we wouldn't have even thought of doing those kind of things. But the money is there, and people lived in luxury and the ability to do practically what they wanted to do. But it appears like things have changed, and perhaps we're in one of those times when judgment to come is becoming a reality in our lives today. Now let me just give you some facts that I have observed and gleaned, and I can only give you a portion of them, but I'd like to speak about them. That scripture in Isaiah talked about the blood, and I think of what has happened here on the abortion issue. Yesterday, again, in Charlotte, North Carolina, 8 men were arrested for standing on the sidewalk 6 feet apart, thinking they were obedient to all the rules in front of an abortion clinic, trying to contact some of the ladies going in there and giving them an option, promising them they would pay for an ultrasound, they would help them to have their child, and they just offered many things. And I think 2 or 3, especially once again, chose to do that. But they have a real burden concerning this matter of abortion. And, of course, the authorities are just so against it that they ended up, even a week ago, they had arrested a pastor and found some fault in the way he was doing it. Now they have pressed on and kept doing it, and yesterday 8 more men were arrested to do this. So we're in a time when persecution is beginning to show its face, and our freedoms are eroding right out from under us to present the gospel or to try to speak up against evil and against sin. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to be reminded of it. And so God has to speak in a greater way. And yet it just grieves my heart that so many places are closed, and we're not in our church this morning, and yet the abortion clinics are open and can continue business as usual. One of the first things I'd like to talk about is New York City and Boston and some of the cities here in the East, larger cities. New York City is a city with about 11 million people. I think that includes the suburbs. But it is a massive city, and most of you have probably been there at one time or other in your life. We have preached on the streets there for many years, now over 30 years, that we have traveled to New York City and tried to plead with the people concerning the direction they were going, the way they had pushed God aside. And we have seen much. We have seen much rejection, much cursing, much blaspheming things that have went on. And very few have regarded. They have taken literature, and we hope perhaps that it had fruit that we know nothing of. But as far as an open appreciation or embracing of the things that we taught from God's Word was very slim, very few. Within the last year, they have brought over an 11-ton altar of Baal and set it up in Central Park there somewhere, which was brought over from Asia or from the Middle East there somewhere. It slips my mind right now where it came from. But they set up an altar of Baal that represented the god Moloch, where there was a sacrificing of children and going on in history. We know that. We could read about the altars of Baal back in the Old Testament, and this thing was thought to be thousands of years old. And they put that thing up there, and just unthinkable. Unthinkable that in a city of America they would put an altar of Baal up and let the people file by and view it and do whatever they did with it. It was then, I think, there for about 10 days or so, and then moved to Washington, D.C., and there again was put up in sight of Congress, I think it was, in one of the big parks there between the monument and the Congress building, again for people to admire and to walk by. And what do we have today when we recognize some of the things they have done? Another thing is the Empire State Building has been with certain light bulbs from, I would say, three-quarters of the way, at least two-thirds of the way, top to bottom, toward the bottom, started at the top. They depicted a heathen god with colored lights on the side of the building. I'm not aware as to how long that was there. But once again, the people are turning to idolatry, to heathenism, to some of the worst things that have happened in history, and are glorifying these things in that city. Also, on the homosexual agenda, they decorated the Empire State Building also in the colors of a rainbow, and put the highest antenna either on the new World Trade Building or on the Empire State Building in pink to honor homosexuality, and the rainbow colors likewise did the same thing. Well, here we are today. Another thing, the governor, Cuomo, there, just in the last half year or 8 months or so, signed in the late-term abortion bill. And when he did so, he was all smiles as if finally he had the victory to sign this bill for late-term abortions that are so radical that even if a child is born and is healthy, a mother can choose whether she wants the child or not, and either suffocate it or let it die or dispose of it in some way, even though it's after it is born in a normal manner. When he did that, when he signed that bill into law, the people cheered and clapped their hands, surrounding behind him, especially women, who now thought that they have the liberty to do whatever they wanted to do and choose whether they would want life or not in the innocent child within their womb. And now it is the worst of judgment in the United States of America in the virus. that is presently ravaging that place. Thousands are affected. People are dying in such a rate that they even have reefer trucks sitting up there to put the bodies in, because they do not have enough room in the morgues to put the bodies and process the death rate that they have. Now, these things to me are some things to note. And at this point, it seems like he's dishonest, trying to get funds from the government, accusing the president of not doing enough, and just all kind of things like that that are so wrong, and pleading and begging for other people to come and help them. But no one looks hardly at the things that he has done or that they have done as a city. Whoever was responsible for these things, but I'm sure that he gave his okay to all of these things that I've mentioned before, and many other people were involved to make it happen. In California, another hot spot for the virus, we noticed that they have adapted an educational system in the state that children at kindergarten age, 5 years old, are being taught that they can choose whether they are a boy or whether they are a girl. At 5 years of age, regardless of what the parents may want to be taught, they have decided to initiate that, and one just cannot comprehend the deep sin and wickedness and rebellion that has come into the hearts of people in high places that have brought these changes about. But all at once, they are ravaged by a disease that is out of control for them. They have not been able to peak it yet at this time, and we have no idea how far this is going to go. But to me, it is judgment has come to them for their ungodly deeds and their hard speeches that they have made. As far as in the world is concerned, we also notice the plague of the locusts in Nigeria and Kenya, which I understand that were able to, in 1 week's time, strip 110 acres plots of ground of everything green in it. And they are admitting this is of biblical proportions. The next thing, and so I believe that judgment, a little bit like the scripture says, time has come that judgment is beginning at the house of God, and I want to speak about that a little later. And if it begin at us, where shall it end with the ungodly and sinner? And that is the question. And therefore, you know, the innocent must suffer with the righteous sometimes in these things, and that's why we are not exempt from this disease. We must also be careful. But nevertheless, I'm already seeing among God's people that there seems to be a degree of protection, and in a greater way than what the places like Detroit and New York and California, Boston, Massachusetts. In Boston, Massachusetts, there have 700 medical workers been affected with the disease themselves by caring for others. Now, these are just amazing facts that we look at to see what is happening. The other thing I want to look at a little bit is how false prophets are being exposed. I don't know how many of you have followed some of the new apostolic movement that has been going on in California and across, actually all across the world in many places, in Europe and other places, thinking that they now want to initiate a new apostolic reformation in which they have the power that Jesus had. They can do what he did. And they take that scripture out of context, that greater things shall ye do than I, because I go to the Father. And so they're claiming that they should be able to heal like he did. They should be able to do miracles. And just recently, we've had so much of that in Redding, California, at the Bethel Church there, that young people are actually harassing people in the hospitals, trying to heal them. And you know, hospitals are able to help a lot of people, but they want the credit to be able to heal them and to go out on the street or back to church and tell people they healed them. And so they go into the hospitals and into the rooms and pray for these people and in their own selfish way and try to claim healing for them. Can you believe that in the last couple of weeks that the Bethel Church there in Redding, California, has closed down its healing center? They had a place there where they were training young people coming in from various parts of the United States and maybe even the world to learn these healing techniques and how to do this and to learn the new apostolic persuasion, which is, again, strong delusion that people are believing a lie. And as was read to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So it's just amazing to me. I have noticed so much of that people have been persuaded that they have these kind of powers, and they should be able to do this. And I believe the greater things that we are able to do that Jesus wasn't able to do is we're able to preach the gospel of his death and resurrection, which is able to transform people by the power of God and give them a new life, which while he was here on earth, he could not preach that in fullness because he had not shed his blood. He had not died for the sins of the people. And therefore, he would say, well, go show yourself to the priest or keep the law. And that was his message at times. But now we have a more fuller completion of the gospel message since we have the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit coming for us to preach the sound gospel and teach people how to be born again and to be loosed from their prison house of sin, like I read in Isaiah of a prophecy in the future would come, and set the captives free and to deliver them that are bound and so forth. And that is the greater things, I believe, is a spiritual power and a spiritual a blessing, not healing the lame or giving sight to the blind. Another thing they tried to do there at Bethel Church in California was recently a child died. I think it was 3 years old, and I don't remember whether by accident or drowning or by another method of sickness. But anyway, I think they worked with that child in a room there at the church for a week to try to raise it from the dead, just thinking that they should have the power to raise people from the dead. But of course, they were not able to do it, and the body of the little child had to be buried. This is the strong delusion, the great delusion of our day. People are turning aside from the clear gospel message and wanting signs and wonders and miracles. And so on the religious scene, we have a major apostasy. We have a departure from the clear message of the gospel and to do those things which God has never meant for us to do. I think the apostles were given that for a time to authenticate the truth of the gospel message in the book of Acts. But later on, We recognize that people got sick and were left behind because they were sick or were told to take a little wine for their stomach's sake or and they're off the infirmities and were not exercising all the power that they had at the beginning of the book of Acts. So, false prophets are being exposed, and false churches, and all that they have been claiming that they have the power to do is all at once they're not able to do it, and they're being exposed for that. Also, I want to mention that we seem to be entering into a time of persecution, as I mentioned already, in North Carolina, Florida, and other places where people are protesting or trying to reach mothers going in for an abortion and are being persecuted and arrested for it. But around the world, this has escalated in a major way, especially in the Middle East and in Iran, Iraq, and Pakistan, and many of the Muslim countries where there's severe persecution has increased majorly in the last years. And so we also see that in, I just wanted to mention on a side note here that I even heard that in Alberta, Canada, they have tried to, someone has suggested a mandate that the people do not sing because of this virus, because they open their mouth and sing it out, and so they shouldn't be singing. They should be quiet. And so I'm not sure how to take all these rules that are coming upon us, but may God give us much wisdom in knowing how to proceed. Another thing that I wanted to mention yet is the return of the Jews to Israel. That took a major turn in the last 2 weeks when this disease began to get into South America, Russia, and other parts of the world. All at once, the Jewish people, and I would say rightly so, because they seem to have the lowest death rate and probably the highest medical success that I have been able to read about. And so these Jews want to go home, but the airports were shut down, and they wouldn't fly them anymore in the commercial flights. And so Israel sent a 787 Dreamliner to Peru, and I think it's a 16-hour flight one way, and are trying to bring Jews home, a couple of thousands of them who want to come home. The same is true for Bolivia. They took a small plane to Brazil and were able to get a flight from Brazil back to Israel. Also, they say they're coming out of Russia, they're coming out of other countries, and Israel is opening their arms, allowing them to come freely, and even, like I mentioned with that Dreamliner, making it possible, special, that they can come and they go fetch them. And I just have to think of the scripture that talks about, I will say unto the north, give up, and unto the south, like, let my people go. And so there's also a major return of the Jewish people to Israel, which is, again, a fulfillment of prophecy. So this is another reason why I believe that we're in these last days and the beginning of sorrows. A few more I'd like to give. Let me see. I have one more here that I thought I had. It's also interesting to me, just as a note of interest, that on the pale horse in the apocalypse, as the seals are opened in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6 of Revelation, we have there a plague so severe that one-fourth or one-third, I didn't look at that this morning now yet closely, will die. But it says there that they will, of course, die by many plagues and so on. And then at the end it says, and with the beasts of the earth. Now that stands out to me because this is considered to have started in China. I'm not sure how accurate this is. I don't want to make it absolute because it's hard to pin it how this thing started, but at least it is assumed to have come from bats. Also, they have had in China the swine flu, which also came from animals, and I understand some of the other diseases that have broke out there also came. They had the bird flu, which came from birds. And so it's very interesting to me to see these beginning of sorrows, that it appears like some of these diseases are coming from the beasts of the earth. Another thing in the United States that I've noticed here is more aggressiveness from wild cats in the parks in the West that are attacking joggers, or even moose have attacked people, bears and big cats in other ways. And so you see what appears, rather than the fear of man, like they would have had and run away in the past, except when they're young or tampered with, like the bears. There seems to be an aggressiveness in the animal kingdom that is increasing also. All right, a few more scriptures that I would like to read in closing. Different ones. Second Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. But the heavens and the earth, in chapter 3, verse 7, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, like I say, judgment to come. This is something that has not been a reality in our communities. We have not seen anything like this in a major way, except, like I said, if you want to take some of the storms or floods or volcanoes or tornadoes or different things like that around the world in a very localized manner, there is some of that been there, but to see something finally that has affected the world is quite different. Now, and let's go to Romans chapter 8. This has been intriguing to me through the years. Verse 19, I believe. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And of course, I'm a literalist here and believe in Isaiah and other scriptures of the Old Testament, giving us indication that the lion and the lamb will be able someday to lie together, and nothing shall hurt in all my holy mountain. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'd just like to mention, some have said that when they had the virus, their insides, their lungs felt like they were full of glass. Great discomfort, only breathing machine. And can we say, especially to those who have had a severe part of this and a near-death experience, and of course many who have died probably suffered these things, that we also see a groaning of the whole creation. Like I say, the animals seem to be more agitated. Mankind is doing unbelievable things. Likewise, in violence and in trying to find satisfaction in life. And even we have to say, with some of the troubles we have with cancer and flu and other sicknesses and diseases that have come upon us, that there is indeed a groaning that is going forth from the whole world waiting for the redemption of our body. And may we, like the scripture says in verse 25, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so may we commit our lives to great patience to live in the will of God. My final plea to all of us is to keep your heart right with God. Keep in the love of Jesus. In Romans 8 also, we should read here, who shall lay to the charge of God's elect? If it's God that justifieth, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Then he goes on, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is no, it shall not. Yes, we may have to go through things like this, even to the point of suffering in the flesh, even to the point of persecution from the enemies of God. But shall it separate us from the love of God? No, not indeed. Even distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword, for it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now this has been a norm for Christians in many generations. Let us never forget that. They never, for many, many years, hundreds of years, a couple hundred years, it was so with the Waldensians. Again, for quite a long time in the Anabaptist days. And we think of many other people groups and so on where persecution was a norm. I think of the 70 years of brutal communism in Russia and its satellite countries and how the KGB persecuted the Christians, and many suffered greatly with very little to eat and cold, not enough of clothing and blankets in the wintertime, in prisons as they languished there for their one reason, that they were Christians, and they got caught preaching or teaching, even young girls who were teaching Bible class or summer Bible school or something got arrested for it. And so, like I say, they lived with these things, but we have been spoiled here in America. We have not had that in our lifetime. We have had a freedom to do what we wanted and go where we wanted in unimaginable ways this last while, with the prosperity that we lived in and the food we had to eat and the houses to live in and the good lifestyle that we had. But could it be that it's also our turn, that these tribulation and troubles will come upon the whole world, and to try them that dwell on the earth, to try us as to whether we will with patience endure these things and stay faithful to our God. So I wish you God's blessing. Thank you for this opportunity. How much rather I would have driven to Indiana and stood in your pulpit to deliver this morning. But God had it otherwise, and yet, through technology, we have the ability to admonish and exhort one another and encourage one another in the faith. And so may God bless you, and we hope that you'll be protected from this disease and be able to minister to many others who are searching for answers. We give that to you all in Jesus' name. Amen.